Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
As crazy it is to think about with the Jets being 3-7, it's all right there. It's all right in front of them. If they win their games, they make the playoffs. If they win 6 out of 7, I give them about a 55% chance to make the playoffs. You can rewind on the Odyssey after 2 o'clock, hear more in-depth reasons why the Jets still have a shot. But it is 5:04. It's Cinco time.
Cinco to 5:0 with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de 5:0 is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. I thought long and hard about Cinco on the way in today, and I realized on a Wednesday, we're not doing sports today. We are not doing sports. There's something really important going on culturally in America that needs to be addressed.
Cabinet picks?
No.
Okay.
We have found out this week that Red Lobster and TGI Fridays are basically now extinct. They closed down a combined 170 more stores.
What?
Their bankruptcy has been incredible. It's going to be like finding a dinosaur now. This makes me sad. This should make any teenager or early 20s couple from yesteryear sad because many a date was spent. So I'm here to give you the five greatest chain restaurant appetizers of all time.
All right.
Here we go.
Number five.
This is where Outback Steakhouse checks in. Many would go Bloomin' Onion, not me. It's the Aussie cheese fry. That ranch dip they have is incredible. And frankly, nobody has been able to properly replicate the cheese fry quite as good as Outback has.
And Outback's still going strong, right?
And they've had a big comeback. Remodel, open ceiling plans. The petite sirloin's still petite, but hey, you know, it hangs.
Meaning tiny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Here we go.
Number four.
It's Chili's Southwestern Egg Rolls.
Yes.
And frankly, if you go to Chili's and don't order the Southwestern Egg Rolls, I don't know why you bother to go.
Whatever draft beer in the frozen mug.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. You want to talk about a Friday night.
You got Tiki on number four. He's with you on that.
Right. No doubt.
Those twofers and Southwestern Egg Rolls? You want to watch a girl's top here, come off on the way out?
I'm sitting here very patiently because there's one in particular that is an all-time Evan favorite. And I'm very curious if it made the top five. And if it didn't, we may have an issue.
It's number three.
How do you know?
Because I know you.
All right, here we go. Go ahead.
Number three.
Say goodbye to these. It's the Red Lobster Cheddar Biscuits.
That's not what it is.
Damn it.
That's what you thought?
I thought that was your... I love the biscuit.
Now you're disrespecting the Cheddar
Biscuit. No. I want to clarify. I like the Cheddar Biscuit.
Right.
Like, I was not exposed to Red Lobster until later in my life.
That's how you learn about shellfish, then.
Everybody went to Red Lobster and learned what a crab was.
I tell you why, because I very rarely had seafood. But when we did have seafood, my parents were like, we're going to the freaking water. Like, we're going right up to that ocean, and we're going to get the food of the fish that just got caught. And my sister's a snob that way, too, living down in Florida, where she's like, I ain't eating a fish unless it died within the last 6 hours.
No, Red Lobster had fishermen. That's why they went bankrupt. They had to pay him that day.
I understand, but I don't think it's as fresh as these other places.
True? No, it's not.
It's all made up. It's fast food.
I was going to say, wow.
But Evan goes, I understand that.
Because I wasn't sure if you were lying to me or not.
You should tweet that one.
That's a good one.
Right.
So I eventually discovered Red Lobster, and it was good. And that was one of the best parts. So I think that's a solid appetizer. It's just not my favorite.
All right, here we go.
Number two.
It's the Olive Garden breadsticks.
No, still not there.
The buttery garlic. Oh, that toasty bottom. Oh.
Good, though. Very good.
How many meals were ruined because you overate those?
Some might argue you didn't ruin them. Some might argue that's the reason you went, and you were glad that you were full.
Breadsticks and a salad.
That's a good point.
You know?
That's a good point. That's
Olive Garden, first place.
Somewhat healthy.
Yeah, well,
somewhat healthy.
Until you order the Alfredo side dipping sauce. But.
Olive Garden's the first place I ever got drunk.
Really?
What an odd place to get drunk.
Well, I wasn't 21. So it was a little under the radar. I had a full-time job. I was working at XM Radio when they were separate, and I went out with a bunch of the guys. They were all like 25 years old.
You guys think a big night out at all?
I'm a loser.
It wasn't even a night.
Such a loser.
Dude, it was a liquid lunch. It was at work, and everybody was drinking. And they're like, hey, you got a drink, Evan? And I'm like, all right. I mean, I'm 18 at the time. And they loaded me up. And I got drunk.
Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Nice.
Fun time.
Somebody call that HR department.
Exactly.
Here we go. All right.
Number one.
You know how we've talked about things that make us cry?
Go ahead. Hit me, baby. This is it. I got the box of tissues.
Saying goodbye to these forever is going to make me cry.
Go ahead. I'm with you.
TGI Friday's potato skins.
That's not it.
What do you mean it's not?
What? That's not number one.
Yes, it is.
That's not number one.
We're not going to ever eat these again. They invented the potato skin. Nobody could do the potato skin the way TGI Fridays does. Mm. You get that sour cream on there, the little bacon bits. And, like, I'm picturing my life never having those again. I don't know if I could carry on.
Yeah, but somebody can make bacon bit loaded potato skin.
Shame on you, Tiki Barber. Somebody can make them, but they can't make them the way Fridays did. Whatever that chef did back there was incredible. It was the perfect crispiness, the perfect depth of potato, the perfect cheese to bacon distribution. It's not the same. Now, what is your big number one?
First of all, I want to give you this box of tissues, because if you need to cry, just cry.
It's horrible, man.
Give him the box.
What have we done? Stop supporting mom and pop shops and go back to supporting Fridays.
Don't say that.
Enough with small business. That's the small business. I want my potato skins
don't
back.
Don't say that. We do not endorse what Sean Moore has just said.
Rachel's ale house doesn't make potato skins the way Fridays does.
I disagree with you, but you left out my favorite appetizer of all time.
You're going to give me the flat mud sticks?
No. Oh, and I'm surprised. I thought we were on the same page with this.
Fridays?
No.
I think I got... No, go ahead, Ev. Go ahead.
Well, you seem to know me
no,
so
because
well.
I have one that's...
what my favorite one is. I don't, keep going. I don't know if I have
keep
one.
Going. Sean left one off the list. I don't think it's yours. Go ahead.
Well, there is a particular place that still exists, but not, like, often. Like, it's kind of like the Roy Rogerses of these restaurants. Like, they exist, but they're very rare. And that, of course, is Friendly's. I love Friendly's. And the number one appetizer is the Munchie Mania.
Okay.
The Munchie Mania.
Evan.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, my. Quesadillas. My wife better not be listening. She's taking the boys to Spanish class. Honey, earmuff. The best quesadillas ever created.
They are. Here's the problem.
Isn't that like a diner?
Yeah.
This is Evan.
Tiki, so when I go to Friendly's, I have breakfast.
Teak, there's a major issue here. Sean's going to point it out with Evan's choice.
Okay, there's two things that are wrong with Evan's choice. Number one, when I'm mentioning these, I don't count Friendly's in these same kind of restaurants because it's more diner fashion.
Yeah. Oh,
also, the Munchie Mania is fabulous. It has the waffle fries, it has the quesadillas and the mozzarella sticks.
Yes.
It's a cheat sheet. You're picking three appetizers in one.
So that's what makes it great, though.
Every place has a sampler.
Bingo.
They're all great.
Everybody has a sampler, dude. You pick the sampler that every place has.
And the Friendly's quesadilla serves as a meal. These serves as appetizers.
Yeah, but I still think it all counts. Like, you're saying things that you think are cheating.
Are you ordering a meal after that?
Yes. I used to order the turkey melt right after. That was my go-to.
Honey, barbecue chicken melt.
I would go to Friendly's. I would get the Munchie Mania. And then I would go with the turkey melt right after. And then the ice cream.
Oh, forget about it. Yeah,
Friendly's ice cream is the best.
Dude, the ice cream is... How about the mint one that looks like a clown? Oh, yeah. My God. Oh. With the peanut butter cups as the ears?
And I'll tell you, the peanut butter sauce at Friendly's, you guys can have your sex. Give me that.
I'll take the sex. By the way, you left one off that I thought you'd have on here. The fried mac and cheese at Cheesecake Factory. The cheese ball that they have, you dip it in the marinara sauce.
Great choice, Tom. The problem with Cheesecake Factory, it's like reading the Bible. It's just too long.
The menu is massive. It's like a playbook in the NFL. I agree with you. Sean Payton.
That's amazing.
But that's where I'm at.
All right. Thank you, Sean.
All right. Rest in peace, Fridays, Red Lobster. We love you forever.
Yeah, that's sad news. But support your local restaurants. I think a part of why I haven't been to any of these places in so long is, especially once I started dating, like that's how long ago this started, like 20 years ago, I always wanted to go to like mom and papa restaurants. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to go to the chain places. I would rarely go to the chain places. I ended up only going to the chain places when I was by myself.
Right.
And I would go eat by myself, which I used to do quite a bit.
Because it's easy to go to a chain restaurant by yourself.
Correct.
And not feel awkward.
Never felt awkward.
Right. You go to a restaurant by yourself. You're like, I didn't get stood up. I'm just here by myself.
You're right. You're totally right. Because I would go to like...
The holidays are all about sharing with family.
meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Applebee's by myself, Frenzy's by myself. I didn't care. I'd go there, I'd read a book, and I'm like, whatever. People think I'm a loser, they can kiss my ass. Right. But to go to that like nice Italian restaurant, I'd never do that by myself.
And if you need to, if you're going by yourself and somewhere nice, you almost have to sit at the bar.
That's true.
And just act like you're there to get a drink.
Nah.
You know what? I'm going to have something to eat, too.
Right.
So you don't look like a loser sitting at a table by yourself.
You're 100% right. Well said. We'll get to the latest on Juan Soto and why the list of teams is a major, major threat to the New York Yankees. But back to your calls at 888-808-1019. A lot of football, a lot of Jets and Giants on this Wednesday. Tanner is calling from Somerville. Good afternoon, Tanner.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
First, absolutely criminal that Jack Daniel's chicken strips are not on the appetizer top five, especially with them going out of business. But
Sean, never even heard of them. Never heard of them?
Nope.
Wow. That's offensive.
Well, and the only coach that should be on the Jets' radar is Mike Vrabel. He can handle Rodgers if they keep him. If he doesn't retire, he's got history with Downing, and he can just get any team to overachieve. He's absolutely the guy that they should hire.
Yeah, I think that Vrabel...
He's consulting right now, right?
Yes.
And so I think we talked about this when people thought that the Jets might hire an interim, like outside of the organization, interim, which never happens, by the way. So like the idea that Rex Ryan was going to come in here in the middle of this, it just doesn't happen. It's too convoluted to do that. But I remember we talked about Vrabel's contract, and because he's not technically a coach, the team can't block him, right?
He could take a head coaching job anytime he wants.
They can't block him from taking a job.
Yeah, my concern on Mike Vrabel is not about Mike Vrabel, the coach. I think he'd be a fine choice, and I think our last caller laid out a lot of the good points. My concern with Mike Vrabel is he's not going to want us. Yeah. I think the Jets have a very unappealing job. And so you start to think, well, who would take it? And I think that's a part of why Gio suggested John Gruden, because John Gruden's desperate to come back.
Right.
And the Jets are desperate for him or a guy like him. So doesn't that make sense? And I think it comes from a very valid place. I laid out earlier why I'm not interested in John Gruden. You can rewind to the Odyssey app to about 3:15. But the reason I believe Brian Flores would take the job, even though he's going to be one of the hottest coaching candidates, and I like Brian Flores, is very simple. He's a Brooklyn kid. And honestly, I think Brian Flores would look past the Woody Johnson issue and say, wait a second, I've got a chance to coach where I'm from? I've got a chance. And look, I know a lot happened with him and the Giants. I'm sure there's some bitterness against that. I have a chance to do it for the Jets in that city and make them watch me be successful. I have a chance to show the Dolphins that they made a mistake. Like, I know I'm jumping into his head.
Right.
I can see Brian Flores looking past kind of the unappealness of the Jet job and say, oh, no, I want that job. I can see that.
Well, I think part of it is wanting the job. The other part is being able to do the job and hire the right staff. We never think about, like, who you hiring. He's not an offensive guy.
No.
Vrabel. And so even though he has input on what an offense does, and I know he had that power when he was in Tennessee. In fact, it was one of the reasons that I think he didn't get tons of looks this past offseason is because he wanted more power than what he had in Tennessee. In fact,
I think he thinks he accomplished enough to get this set.
And I think that's what at the end was the issue in Tennessee as well. So if he's gonna come in with all the power, then who's he hiring and what does he do with Aaron Rodgers?
Right.
That's the biggest question. Now, do I think they'll get along?
in some ways I do, because their personalities are similar. Like Mike Vrabel is a, he's dry. Like you don't know if he's ever, you don't know if he's messing with you or not.
Right.
Right. But he, and so you have to take it like it's, he's being serious, but you don't know if he's messing with you.
Right. Right.
And sometimes that's a good way to manage people because it's just, he can make it whatever he wants it to
That's what I do with Sean all the time.
No, I'm serious. Like you don't know.
And he doesn't
you don't
know.
You got to. You got to play the serious
He thinks I'm being mad at him. He thinks, is Evan joking? Like, I got... Would you confirm that's true, Sean?
There are times I have a misread, sure.
Yeah. I'm Mike Vrabel to you. By the way, want to hear a weird Mike Vrabel rumor?
What?
A Mike Vrabel rumor.
Got it.
Cowboys? He is right now consulting in Cleveland.
Yes.
That he would take the Cleveland job. That they would actually get rid of Kevin Stefanski.
Really?
Because of the down season. And that Mike Vrabel would just move on in. Just move right in. Plus, Mike Vrabel is an Ohio guy. Local guy.
Yeah.
That may be the job.
He's Ohio State, right?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Yeah. He's Buckeye. The Ohio State. So, it's not being against Vrabel. It's not believing Mike Vrabel would want this job. I think the Jets have a very unappealing job. And I think a lot of it has to do with the owner. I think a lot of it has to do with the uncertainty around the quarterback. There's a lot that goes along with it. And so... you need someone that can look past that. In my opinion, Ben Johnson is not going to take the Jet job. He's not.
He already looked past another job.
Yeah, he already looked past possibly a better job. So that's why Brian Flores, and maybe I'm reading Brian Flores completely wrong, and maybe I'm being so loyal to the Brooklyn in him, but he's a Brooklyn guy. He's a New Yorker.
Forget that. He got to beat the Dolphins twice.
I said that already. The Dolphins and even your team. I'm sure he's not happy about the way everything went down. So between the Giants and the Dolphins, I think he would run over here and say, let's kick some ass. I like that guy. I'm a Flores guy. That's my endorsement.
All right.
Full throttled.
Hopefully he follows the yellow brick road to Florham Park and sings, if I only had a Brian.
God. What?
I don't get that either.
I don't either.
Brian Flores, if I only had a brain. Brian, if I only had a Brian.
What?
We're sorry you're here.
Yeah, that one's bad. I try to laugh at all of them. That one's not good.
I'll go back to the board.
Yeah.
It's like when Daniel Jones...
How about those Olive Garden breadsticks? Huh?
It's like when Daniel Jones lost Tiki Barber. He lost everybody. Sean, if you lose Tiki Barber, I mean, no one's going to think you're funny.
Fair.
And guess what? Daddy isn't here anymore. Spike's in Philly.
I'm just kidding.
That was a joke.
Excuse me?
I love you, buddy.
Remember, or are you a child?
I
made Spike a good program director. I'll never forget that.
I got you. Let's go to Joe in Syosin. What's up, Joe?
Hey, good evening, fellas.
What's up?
So I turned on towards the end of the restaurant talk. What about, and Maresh, you might relate to this one, Sizzler down on Long Island, the corn pop-ums and the salad bar.
Too far removed, though, Sizzler.
What do you mean too far removed?
It's been gone for a while.
It's been gone for too long.
I can't think of the last time I've seen it.
Now, when you say the Sizzler is gone, so like, for example, I use Roy Rogers as a great example. When I was growing up, Roy Rogers was everywhere. It was right there with McDonald's and Burger King. And Wendy's wasn't even that popular yet. In fact, Wendy's replaced a lot of the Roy Rogers. Roy Rogers was a thing. Now you can only see a Roy Rogers on the Jersey Turnpike. Like, it exists, but it's very, very rare. Friendly's is the same way. Like, Friendly's exist. They're just very, very rare.
Oh, there's one in my town right over.
I think
Madison.
Yes. Yeah. So they exist. They're just not as common. Are you telling me the Sizzler has gone the way of the Blockbuster?
I could just speak from Long Island specifically. Sizzler does not exist on Long Island anymore at all.
Oh, by the way, I got a Cinco for you. I got a Cinco for you.
Why don't you email to Spike? He could let me know.
But that joke really hurt him. I got one for you. The companies you miss the most that don't exist anymore. Like a Blockbuster.
Blockbuster's number one.
Dude, I miss Blockbuster.
But do you? Because it's so easy to get shows now. You just like browsing?
Yes. Yeah. I liked going in there.
Secretly walk into the back of the...
Sometimes not so secret, but yeah.
What kills me is I never did that. I never in my life went back behind the curtain.
The Hills Have Thighs 3, not a fan.
It wasn't even that. I think it was that... So before I was 18, I never went back there. I never, like, snuck back there. And then once I was an adult and I was going to Blockbuster, I was always going with, like, a girlfriend or somebody I was dating. And so we never looked at a porn.
That makes one of us here.
Well, that's you.
I mean, it's good viewing.
You be you. That's fine. That's fine. I'm not judging you. I'm just saying, like, it's one of my regrets. Like, I never went back there. I just never did. But, man, browsing?
By the way, I would agree with you.
Blockbuster was a big deal.
Yes.
Because I think about it now.
Yep.
My girlfriend at the time, Robin, worked at Blockbuster.
Really?
So it was like every day she'd come up with a different
movie. You guys ever hook up there?
No.
Oh, sorry.
We didn't need to.
On the candy section.
The candy was fun.
Yeah.
The video games. I mean, renting the video games is
kind of
cool.
Can I get away without rewinding?
What a thrill. Your dad making you drop it through the box.
Yes.
On the out.
The funny part is about the rewinding is I think by the time I got to 12, it was all about the DVD.
Yes.
Like, we had graduated from the rewinding at a relatively young age.
Fair. Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Does Aaron Rodgers like Jeff Ulbrich? We get an answer from Aaron coming up in the next 20 minutes. But the Juan Soto sweepstakes is slowly but surely developing. We know a few things. We know that Juan will be in Southern California next week. We know that the Yankees have secured a meeting. We knew that the Mets had secured a meeting. We thought yesterday, based on TMZ, that Francisco Lindor was going to go to California to be a part of those meetings. That turned out not to even be true. Lindor went to California to film something.
Fake news?
Well, I mean, he was in California, so that's real.
I know, but it was such a better story when he was there to recruit Juan Soto.
I know, it was a lot better. Apparently, he's already back. Like, he was only there for a day or two, and it had nothing to do with Juan Soto. Now, that doesn't mean he isn't calling him and going to try to recruit that way, but apparently he's not going to be a part of the meeting. But the Mets have a meeting, the Yankees have a meeting, and it's been reported that two other teams have a meeting, the Toronto Blue Jays and the Boston Red Sox. That doesn't mean that no one else is involved. It doesn't mean the Giants or the Phillies or the Nationals or the Dodgers can't get involved, but those are the four teams that have meetings. And if you remember about a week ago, it got very heated around here because we started debating where Soto going and how it would piss you off.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the comment that I'd rather him be out of my division and out of my league.
Yes.
Sean was making the point, anywhere but the Dodgers. And I'm like, dude, they're in another league. Like, why would that bother you? Well, forget the Dodgers because they don't have a meeting right now. Doesn't mean, again, they can't sign him, but as of now, they're not. The Red Sox and the Blue Jays do. So as of right now, there are three other teams besides the Yankees that have meetings with Juan Soto. Two are division rivals of the Yankees, and the other is your crosstown nemesis.
Yes.
Which one would bother you more if Soto's not a Yankee?
Probably the Red Sox. Just because. Because
they're the Red Sox.
Because they're the Red Sox. Because it's the, it's like the rivalry has lost its, I don't know, fire. Mm-hmm. It's still a rivalry, but it's not as vicious as it felt like it used to be. And if you lose Juan Soto to the Red Sox and then they get good and actually start spending money again, if Fenway Sports Group figures out a way to, I don't know, cash out of Liverpool and make some and actually spend money elsewhere, then, I mean, maybe they get good again.
Right.
And he's a young player and it's going to be a pain in your butt for a decade. So I think the Red Sox to me.
Is that an easy answer, Sean?
The Blue Jays are interesting because it's like they're also in a division, but.
Right.
They're like up in Canada.
But do we agree?
It feels out of sight, even though it's not.
But would you agree it's not the Mets? Like, the Mets are a psychological thing.
Well, I think we've heard the Mets for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I dismiss it.
What do you mean you dismiss it? What does that mean?
It's not something that emotionally charges you.
Because you're used to it?
Because I've been used to hearing it forever.
So you can see it happening?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the Mets.
It's still the Mets, even with the Blue Jays and the Red Sox
hear me out.
Meetings?
I understand that the logical answer is Blue Jays, Red Sox 13 times a year, could see them in the playoffs fighting for a division. I understand all that.
They're not your problem unless, I mean, the Subway Series, which really means nothing.
But here's where they're the problem. When you're the Yankees and you retain every free agent you ever want or anything, the moment the Mets break through that wall and Steve Cohen actually finally flexes, to me, about building a Yankee roster and farming your own land, the Mets really do become that threat where you now lose the confidence you're ever going to be able to outmaneuver anybody you want and be the Yankees again. So I know that sounds psychological and it's not directly impacted more times on the field, but I do think that's a problem for the Yankees.
Really?
I do.
Even
I do.
I
expect to get backlash for that, but that's the truth for me.
So like the Red Sox and the Blue Jays are in your division. You face them 13 times.
Yeah.
I think the Red Sox are a sleeping giant. Because we know what they're capable of doing.
Right.
We know they're capable of spending. We've seen it before. But they've been very quiet for the last 6 years.
Okay.
Ask their fans.
But
they traded Mookie Betts and didn't want to sign him. They didn't sign Xander Bogaerts. They did keep Rafael Devers. But they have been operating like a mid-market team over the last few years. And this would be a sign of, is the giant reawakening? Because I don't know if you sign Soto and then do nothing else.
That's what I was going to say. If the Red Sox or Blue Jays sign him, and I know the Blue Jays is like, we're still trying to figure out what that means with their owner up there.
Right.
those teams signing Soto to me, maybe I'm naive, would tell me they took a swing for their fans, they got their piece, and they're kind of done, where I kind of fear them less as a team. I go back to the whole thing. I now know that my Yankees are good enough to finally get out of this American League that's been held down by the Astros and make a World Series. Man, if the Mets really finally connect on Soto, now they're all in. Now he's got the business humming. I still think the Mets would then pose a bigger threat to the Yankees winning a World Series than the Blue Jays or Red Sox would by having to beat them in the end.
Well, that thing.
Yeah. You can hate me. That's my opinion.
I don't hate you.
But I don't think that thinking, it doesn't take into account that the Red Sox or the Blue Jays could literally win your division every year for the next decade.
Of course.
They could. And so how is that less impeding for you winning a World Series than the Mets, who have to get to the World Series in order for them to impede you from winning a World Series?
Like, directly, apples to apples, you're right. I just have less confidence beyond that in the Red Sox and Blue Jays building a team that actually will win the division.
Sean's right. It's the Mets. It hit me. Why? He's playing chess. We're playing checkers. Hmm. He's playing chess. He's playing freaking chess. And I wish I thought of it first. You son of a... He's right.
King me?
Here's why Sean's right. The MLB CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, expires in only 2 years. Very close.
God, that happened quick.
I know. December 1st of 2026. That's 2 years from now. That means we have two more baseball seasons and the CBA is expired. Okay, Juan Soto will be 28 years old when the CBA expires. I don't know if there's going to be a lockout. I don't know what they're going to do to the luxury tax, but there is something that I do know, and Sean must know it too. We're going to get something that I don't want, but something that he knows is going to happen. The Mets are coming. And the Yankees are going to be in the same division.
Realignment.
Realignment is coming within 2 years. And so we're going to get the Mets and the Yankees in the same division.
There's no way that's
happening. You'll see. Long-term bet.
It's on the table. Long-term bet. I wasn't thinking that, but Evan was.
And I hope I'm wrong, by the way. Sean's playing chess. He doesn't want Soto on the Mets more than the Red Sox and the Blue Jays because he knows in 2 years we're sharing a division.
If that happens, then Sean, you're absolutely right.
He's right.
But I don't think anybody's thinking about that happening right now.
He's thinking about it. I see it in his head. Admit it.
I wasn't thinking about it at all.
That was very smart.
I wish I was. You know what I was thinking of?
Tiki's thinking, great, more six-hour shows.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm writing this down for a long-term prediction. 5/39/11/13/2024.
I got to tell you, 2.5 weeks removed from a week of 5.5-hour shows, these shows still feel very short.
Don't they?
Really do.
Dude, it was funny when Joe and I would fill in for Mike. We would do 5.5 hours, and then we'd go back to the 3 hours of midday, and we wouldn't want to say it out loud because Chernoff would be like, okay, fine, I won't pay you. We'd be like, boy, it's like we're stealing. What are we doing here? We even working?
Right.
So, yeah, it's like when you lift heavy weights and then you lift lighter weights.
Yes, it's
easy. It feels much lighter than it actually is.
100%.
Good thinking, Sean, by the way. I give you a lot of credit for thinking that far ahead.
When have you picked up a weight in your life?
Oh, dude, I used to be big into the workouts.
Weights, though?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I used to be in good shape.
I can't picture you doing a curl.
Yeah. You know what happened? I had my reasoning for why the weight stopped. I lived in an apartment that had a gym. And I would use it every day after work. I would do the midday show.
What was his address?
I don't get that one. Oh, Jim, like the guy's name?
Yeah.
No. So I'd use the gym. Well, first I got taught by Steve. Steve and Howard Beach taught me everything. So I give him all the love for that. Taught me how to eat well, go to the gym. And then after that, after I stopped working out with him, I'd go to the gym every day. And I did it for years. And then once I left that apartment and I had to figure out a new way to go to the gym, I was screwed.
There are gyms everywhere.
I was lazy.
Dude. They're everywhere.
I know, but there's a difference between walking up a floor in your apartment versus leaving your house to go to a gym.
True.
And I admit, and that's where I failed.
It's an effort to find and then get there and then motivate yourself.
And it sucks, man. I wish I could say differently. I wish I could say, yeah, I'm still going, but I don't have time. I'm very busy watching net games and doing Rico Bronya's and preparing the program. I just don't have time. I want to be with my family. I don't have time. But if I had a gym like in my house, which I thought about trying to build, maybe I can get back to it. So, yes, I used to be into working out, Sean.
You could buy free weights, though.
Well, you know, I did. I just don't use them.
These for the ladies, bro.
No, I not only have free weights. You know what I bought, Teak?
What?
I bought those weights where you press a button and it changes the weight of the weight.
Oh, so you pull a thing off?
No. You literally, okay, so the weights are down on, like, the ground, okay?
Okay.
You switch a button, like, you turn it, and then you lift the weight up.
Oh, yeah.
And it releases, like, a tiny weight. So now these free weights can either be 5 pounds or 50 pounds. It literally goes between 5 and 50. And I have them, and it's kind of like the same issue. Like, I just don't do it.
Curls for the girls. For you?
What was that?
Too complicated for you?
It's not that it's complicated. It's more like the effort. I think it's being lazy.
So I got a great idea. You can do a live Rico Bronya where you are working out as well.
Yeah.
Great content, switches up the podcast, and you work on those biceps.
Ooh, instead of a drive home Rico, a workout Rico.
Exactly.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
You could call it our spring training series.
Exactly. And all Met fans are getting worked out. We're all getting a pump in before the season starts.
I got to tell you.
Hoffman could, you know, lose a few lbs too, by the way.
You've produced here for a year and a half.
Well, I've been producing here for 15 years.
This show.
I got you.
This show. Yeah, you produced other shows. You produced this show for a year and a half. Would you agree it's like the first good ideas come
that
up
is
with?
Pretty good.
Well, what the hell kind of condescending remark is
that? It is a good idea. It's the first, I won't say it's the first one, but it's a pretty good idea.
No, it's the first idea he's come up with.
No. Nobody asked you.
I won't let them disrespect you like that.
I'm complimenting you. It's a good idea.
Now, will you follow through with it? Of course not, but I think it's a great idea.
I think I will, actually.
You got so much, you know, you should.
I think I will.
You have the weights. You have the podcast. You have the microphone. Like I said, Hoffman's out of shape. He could use the freaking workout.
I think the only problem is, like, here's my concern about it, because now I'm analyzing it. I think it would be like a 5-minute podcast, because I think I'd be out of breath pretty quickly.
No, you chill.
So I could take, like, breaks between reps?
Well, that would be when you would talk.
Yeah.
So you do whatever set that you're doing of reps, and then you sit and you talk for
so
2 minutes.
So Hoff talks about which starting pitcher he wants the Mets to add. I start doing the curls.
Right.
People see it. Yep. Then I put the weight down, and I'm like, all right.
You won't be that out of breath.
I mean, I'm in bad shape right now.
Yeah. Take your time.
Yeah.
Do a set. Wait 3 minutes. Do another set. Wait 3 minutes.
And Mrs. Roberts is going to be very pleased with the new Evan.
Once
you start working out, it builds up stamina everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, she might look at you after and go, oh, Rico. Rico Bronya.
Oh, I got you. Thank you. I thought it was the new Mets signing. They signed a guy named, like, Rico Garcia the other day.
Relief pitcher. Serious?
Yeah.
Why in the hell do you know that or care right now?
Why do I care about the Mets signing relievers? Because I'm me.
What do you mean? Why do I care? I know
I'm a loser. Roster.
Tiki, you want to start a new Mets podcast called the Rico Garcia?
Hold on. I got to see what the guy's
Rico
name
Bonya?
Is. Mets signed veteran. Yeah, Rico Garcia. I got it right. He's a
That's
left.
Behind the curtain at Blockbuster, Tiki.
I like that.
Good idea, Loogie. I'm going to take advantage of that. Let's go to Paul in Queens. How are you, Paul?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good, man.
Real quick, I just want to say, because I want to talk about the Giants, but if Soto goes to the Mets, I'll be pissed because I have a lot of friends that are Mets fans, and it's just going to, you know, it'll piss me off. They're going to gloat and everything. But if he goes to the Red Sox, I will be sick to my stomach.
It reignited. You know, Tiki, I'll let you continue, but Tiki made a point earlier about that rivalry being very dormant the last few years, and he's right. That would re-bring up, reignite the rivalry. Like, that all of a sudden would bring you back to 03 and 04, because even though the Yankees and the Red Sox were, you know, had former guys with their team, you know, you had Roger Clemens on the Yankees and Johnny Damon on the Yankees and all that kind of crap, Wade Boggs on the Yankees, stuff like that. That would be the ultimate, in a way, because of how good he is in the prime of his career. And I do think you're right. It would do that to a lot of Yankee fans, and it would completely reignite that dormant rivalry.
And they're a better team now, and they're a couple players away, and that's the last thing we need. But on to the Giants real quick. So I know BT and Sal were talking about how Shane and Daboll are on the hot seat, and they're not the only ones. And I'm going to tell you why Shane and Daboll should not be on the hot seat. I'm going to start with Daboll. Daboll turned Josh Allen into who he is. He can develop a quarterback from the beginning. Okay? Daboll is a good coach. He has not lost the locker room. That whole locker room respects him and loves him. He hasn't had any issues like that, you know, with the media or anything like that. He's a great coach. Great coach. He makes some mistakes here and there, but that's him relying on Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is the problem with the New York Giants. He just, whatever happened when we made the playoffs that year, I don't know what happened to him. I mean, he wasn't terrific that year, despite popular belief. I mean, if you look at the numbers, he was good enough to win. That's all it was. But these last 2 years have been horrific, absolutely horrific. Daniel Jones is the problem. Now, on the Joe Shane side of it, and also Brian Daboll wanted Jaden Daniels. He wanted to trade up for Jaden Daniels.
It just wasn't possible.
We couldn't do it. Yeah, we couldn't do it.
But Paul, a couple things. I wouldn't use the word great to describe Brian Daboll.
No.
He had
a great first season.
Yes. But saying someone's, you know, Andy Reid is a great coach. Mike Tomlin is a great coach.
Right. You got to be consistent winner.
Absolutely.
Regardless of circumstances, injuries, whatever you want to say, whatever. You got to be consistently great to be great.
He hasn't earned great. The other thing I kind of have an issue with, because Sean has said this a lot, is the idea of Brian Daboll getting points for liking Jaden Daniels. Why does he get points for that? Ben McAdoo wanted Patrick Mahomes. Like, what does that mean? So he liked a prospect that they didn't get. I don't give him points for that.
It means, to me, I trust his evaluation identifying a quarterback.
Because on video, he was filmed liking a player?
Well, I just think it's nothing. At least he knows what he's looking for.
Right.
I think that's more of what it means. You don't give him credit for it. You just trust that he knows what he's looking for.
Right. Not even a year ago. For anybody that wants to say, well, how do we know these guys can even identify a quarterback? The both of them, the GM and coach, are in lockstep that they would trade up for the quarterback that is going to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. That, to me, even if it's small and means nothing, is refreshing that I know that these guys know what they're looking for.
Respectfully, small and means nothing.
Well, what do you mean?
Just the way I would.
It wasn't like Jaden Daniels was a slam dunk for everybody.
I'm not saying that, but just liking somebody who turned out to... Because here's the other factor.
They attempted to trade up, though. But they liked him enough for that.
But here's the other factor. And this is the thing Brian Daboll kind of needs to prove again. I know he did a great job with Josh Allen. I don't want to dismiss that. Mm-hmm. But he needs to prove again that he can develop a young quarterback. Tiki's talked eloquently over the last few days about being in the right situation. Maybe a part of Jaden Daniels' success is that he's in a really good situation.
Right.
And we also don't know that would have happened here. We don't know that. We could assume it, but we don't know.
I would have guessed that it would have been in the right situation. From Kafka, even if he's not the play caller anymore, he's still a good offensive mind. And we know that just from where he came from, like his tree of getting to where he is. Dabes obviously has the background in doing it. So I think like some of these, like when you look at the Jets situation where they had LaFleur, like he had never done it before as a quarterback guru, certainly not as an offensive coordinator. And we all know the tragedy that happened with their quarterback coach before the season, but it was circumstantial, but it was still the reality.
Mm-hmm.
He was just in a bad spot. But when you put a young quarterback in the right kind of situation, it makes all the difference in the world. I trust that this current Giants regime is the right situation for whoever a young quarterback is.
You may be right.
Only because they've done it before.
I agree. They did it at a coordinating level, but we don't know for sure. So to take the credit of what's been accomplished in D.C. and say, well, I'm going to give Brian Daboll credit because he identified that. Look, I'm not taking anything away from
it. It's not about identifying. I think that just gives me the idea that he knows what he's looking at. But I do trust. There's not a ton of these staffs that I trust to nurture a young quarterback. We're seeing it happen. I mean, I thought Shane Steichen would have been the right guy to mentor a young quarterback, but he's yee-yawed. Right? Anthony Richardson.
He's yo-yoing all over the place.
I mean, it's like, what are you doing?
Right.
And I know you're trying to teach him a lesson, but there's better ways to teach a kid a lesson than sitting him down for 3 weeks and basically almost dropping yourself out of playoff conversation. Right? So, like, there's a way to do it, and some teams do it well. And I trust that the Giants with Shane or with Daboll would do it well.
I'm just saying we need to see it happen. That's all I'm saying. Jaden Daniels as an answer is, well, it happened somewhere else.
By the way, we're all saying we need to see it happen. We don't want it to end before we see it happen.
By the way, I'm on that side. I mentioned to you the other day, the reason I lean towards keeping them is because I want to see them get that opportunity.
But I think you're missing what I'm saying. So when I look at, say, the Chicago Bears, did I trust that going into with a first overall pick in Caleb Williams? Not a chance.
Right.
That I trust with the Chicago Bears.
That group of who they had.
We had no chance at all.
Right.
Who's another one? Bryce Young.
In Carolina.
Down in Carolina. Did I trust that? That was absolutely not. Frank Reich was a win-now coach, right, who had not taught a young a quarterback in I don't know how long, if ever. So did I trust that situation was going to work out? No. But I look at, like, the Texans. Did I trust that Bobby Slowick, who had done it two previous years with Trey Lance and then
What's the kid's name? The quarterback in 49ers now.
Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy. He did it 2 years in a row or 3 years in a row teaching young quarterbacks how to get integrated into playing in the NFL. So when he get his chance with C.J. Stroud, was I surprised that it happened? No. It made perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
It would make sense for Daboll, who has done it before. Yes, I know it was 5 years ago at this point, but he's done it.
I agree with everything you're saying. The one part I differ on is I don't want to give him credit for something he didn't do yet.
I'm not saying
he did it with Josh Allen.
I
agree with you. And I would bet that it would work. It's that Sean and our last caller are like, Jaden Daniels is proof. It's not proof.
No, it's just proof.
I do agree, though, that this grouping I'd have more faith in. Of course I would.
I think you're not listening to what we're saying. What we're saying
is, I'm listening to what you're saying. I don't agree with what he's saying.
It's not that he wanted to draft Jaden Daniels. It's just that he knew to look and find the right guy.
Yes.
That's all we're saying.
Jaden Daniels
has no idea. It's a hypothetical that will never have an answer.
Yep.
But he was looking at the right kid.
Yeah.
Whereas if you were, I don't know, David Tepper, and you taking, I don't know, GM duties, you were looking at the wrong kid.
No doubt about it.
You probably should have drafted C.J. Stroud.
But do we give McAdoo credit for looking at Patrick Mahomes?
No. If that was even true.
Well that, by the way, that is fair. I do believe that coaches sometimes leak stories to make themselves look better. So that is entirely a possibility. I will give you that. Let's go to Chris in Connecticut. How are you, Chris?
Good, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I'm probably closer in age to Tiki than I am you, Evan.
Yeah.
And Tiki, it's been a pleasure watching you.
Thank you.
It's been awesome to talk to you now. I really appreciate everything you're doing now.
By the way, real quick. Hold on, one second, Chris. And this is what made Tiki great, because Tiki reminded me. I was dozing off. Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. Mm-hmm. That's coming up next on SNY. I don't mean dozing off, because I'm very excited to hear what you have to say, Chris. I meant more, I was distracted, because I'm like a child. Mm-hmm. I see something in the sky, and I get distracted. But anyhow, Chris, I apologize. What were you going to say about Juan Soto?
What I was going to say, the reason I bring up my age is because the worst thing I can remember in any of my sports fandom is when the Red Sox were, after they broke the curse and they came down 0-3 and they came through us, and then they went on their dynasty run.
Right.
If the best player we have seen since the 90s, and well, one of the best players, certainly one of the best players in the league now, but one of the best players that's been in pinstripes since our run, ends up in Boston, I can't see how Sean or anybody can say anything anywhere else would be worse than that.
I mean, again, I don't want to deal with Met fans on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, but you're not going to have to deal with the Met fans.
And like I've been telling Evan,
you're going to hear the Met fan, but you're not dealing with them on any real capacity.
You're hearing us, you're not dealing with us. Yeah. He's right about that.
Again, the World Series is going to exist for the Yankees again. You got to beat that team.
Okay, so what did the Yankee fan do this year with Juan Soto? Was he?
What do you mean? What they do? They
like to the Met fan. Like, was the Met fan?
We spent the summer telling him you're not going to sign him. He's ours.
They did.
Right, but that was only because the Met fan was being obnoxious about it.
Of course, as always. Yes. No, look, it really, to me, I know this is stupid. I know it sounds stupid to people. I don't trust these other organizations, not named the Mets and Dodgers, to do anything else above and beyond adding Juan Soto. So when the Mets or Dodgers add him, and for this case the Mets, I fear that it's going to cause some kind of super team that if and when the Yankees navigate out of the AL, they are not going to be able to beat them.
You think that if the Red Sox sign Soto, they're done?
They're done. And I don't fear beating a Red Sox Soto team.
Okay. Does it not bother you? Forget about even if the Red Sox do nothing else. Because there's a part of me that thinks, well, would the Red Sox do that? Would they literally just give Juan Soto $700 million and say, okay, we're done. You endeavors. Go kill. Like, that's it. And we'll develop the youth that we have. We have a good farm system. And we'll go from there.
Done to an extent, right? Okay. Develop the team, bit pieces.
All right. But it still wouldn't kill you that you lost such a great player to a guy you have to face 13 times, even if that team isn't a great team?
It's going to kill me.
You know what I mean?
No. It's going to kill me if he's a Red Sox. It's going to kill me if he's a Blue Jay. It's going to kill me if he goes and plays for a team in the Atlantic League. It's going to kill me that he's not a Yankee.
So no matter where he goes, you're upset, but you're saying the Mets will be more.
And it's going to crush me. What's going to upset me is a team that finally strikes where now you can't deny the bottomless pocket thing and go, damn, if I get to World Series, how am I beating that team?
We're in your head.
Well, yeah, you will be if you sign.
But two things got to happen. Mm-hmm. They have to also get to the World Series,
Completely agree.
They have to beat you.
I agree. That's why the World Series argument is so flawed to me.
Right.
When you guys brought it up about the Dodgers a few weeks ago, I laughed at it. I was like, that's the dumbest argument. It's not the World Series. He's BSing about that, Tiki.
No, I'm not.
It's the Met fan, specifically the guy sitting that's 5 feet away from him,
that's right.
Is so in his head that he doesn't want to live in a world in which Lugie's wearing a Juan Soto jersey to work every day. And by the way, I've never done this. I don't believe in buying jerseys until a player does something for my team. If the Mets sign Juan Soto, not only am I going to buy a jersey, I'm going to wear it every day for a month. Right in the face.
Great. And wear it in my face. Again, maybe this is me being spoiled, rotten, Yankee, 37-year-old, grew up with this.
Mm-hmm.
When I view the Yankees winning a World Series, I view it at all levels. Coming out of the wild card round, the division round, the ALCS, and the World Series. I don't celebrate just getting to a World
Series. You're lying. I don't believe anything you're saying. I think you're just saying stuff. It's about the Mets.
The Mets or Dodgers are still a layer to that, the same as the Red Sox.
It's simply the Met fan making fun of you, and you don't like it.
No, that's part of it.
Tiki, you know I'm right about that, right?
Of course you are.
Yeah. That's all it is.
And it's realignment, like I've been telling you.
Again, that means nothing. To me, that means nothing.
I know it
shouldn't. They're making fun of you. Who cares?
I agree with you.
Have you ever gotten a wedgie, Tiki?
No. Either run away from it or turn around and face it. If you want to grab my junk, that's on you.
Good to know.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.